coming back to the theme of, you know, logic and language, or being able to lean both on ontology and on knowledge about linguistics to help, in the case of the, as the title says, applying ontology and linguistics to automate reading, writing, and reporting of knowledge and information in a semantic wiki. Ooh. Take it away, Chuck.
Thanks. So you've read my title, and this isn't on the website, right?
The Reveletics one was, and I said it wasn't, but yours is not, but it will be there again after the meeting.
So if you'll forgive me, I will read a little bit more of the slides so that people can follow. Essentially, we're talking about a semantic wiki. There's two kind of aspects of this that kind of make a twist, and you get to see how we use some of the existing technologies that are coming up and presented today, and we go someplace else with it. One aspect is that to the extent possible, you want to interact with your semantic wiki in natural language. You don't want to learn a lot of controls. You don't want to learn a lot about the commands. You don't want to have to understand the meta model for an ontology per se. You want to interact with it kind of naturally so that someone who is not one of us can actually approach it and use it. The second is a bit heretical in that the wiki should gather your information, should gather your wisdom, your knowledge, your experience, and be able to present a point of view, your point of view, or the point of view of a community of interest. And that creates all kinds of interesting challenges when you don't have a standard point of view and having to reconcile and harmonize that sort of stuff. I point this somewhere, right? Anywhere? Okay, point it at the screen. Okay, good. So I'm going to talk about this point of view. Otherwise, that's what it means to me, or that's what this means to me. Linguistics and ontology based reading and writing, we'll just kind of go over what that might look like. And by the way, this work is being carried out as part of Semantic Insights work, and we will be presenting in May at the Semantic Technology Conference as well. Also, the notion of reading for what is important to us as opposed to just everything. There's a whole lot of stuff out there that is not necessary to really bring into your system, and just being able to select what's important to you. Generating reports in fresh natural language prose. As I said, you want to interact with it in natural language to the extent possible, practical. Generating and updating ontologies, as was mentioned earlier and been mentioned a couple of times, the ability to start to construct natural language ontologies from the prose itself, from the construct domain-specific or point-of-view ontologies from the prose you select. Knowledge management in the semantic wiki, we'll talk about what does it mean to have many points of view and to manage that. And also harmonizing different points of view as you go. All right, so that's what this means to me. Okay, so we're talking about support for points of view. And it's really about focusing on what's important and what's of value to an individual, a team, or a community of interest. Reading volumes of text, reading volumes of natural language is time-consuming. And you want it to be fast and accurate. So you want to be able to create a system that focuses in on what you're interested in and can quickly ignore the rest. And so this is one of the advantages of being able to focus in on just this point of view. Lots of other advantages too. This reading natural language from a point of view allows you to not only pick up what's explicitly in the statement, in the text, like Joe called Jane, period. They went to the movies. Period. Two separate assertions, two separate statements. One can assume that he called before they went to the movies. Okay? So there's information encoded in natural language that actually is in its structure and juxtaposition in the actual text. And there's a whole lot more to that. I mean, you get into things like what's called indexicals, where you say things like, I grew up poor, I had a hard life, but it was a good one, and that made all the difference. The word that was referring to what? All of that other stuff, right? And so picking up not only what's explicit in the natural language, but also what's implicit in the structure of the natural language, collecting that together. But what's important about this, what's really important about this, is being able to specify what's important to you as you decide what to include in your ontologies or what to include in your wiki. And be able to say that, hey, you know, this is a risk. This is an opportunity. This is something we really need to look out for. And be able to encode your intuition, your experience, your feelings, as you're building this ontology and this this information about your point of view. I'll show a little bit more about this coming up. You need to be able to, of course, dynamically be able to create and manage these points of view ontologies, these special ontologies. There is this need to have a flexible representation. If I think of it as a characteristic and not as an entity, then I should be able to express it as a characteristic and not as an entity. If I think of it as an entity, I should be able to express it as an entity, but I should be able to interconvert. But as was pointed out earlier, not all of that is interconvertible. Not every expression function is reversible, sort of thing. So the ability to have a structure for encoding your ontologies, capturing your ontologies, which allows you to interconvert them to the extent that they can be, is really important. And that's what I say. Of course, there may not be a bidirectional mapping. But you want to also be able to express what you mean in the structure that you mean. Of course, harmonizing the point of view. If you have more than one point of view, and you want to determine where they overlap or where they conflict and what's all that, what that's about, you want to be able to certainly handle that. Also, if you're growing knowledge in an ontology or in a wiki, you're growing knowledge, you're capturing knowledge from a community of interest, not everybody there will have the same point of view, even though you're building the same knowledge base, right? And so you need to be able to look and say, we have an inconsistency in our interpretations here, and be able to point that out to them as it's occurring. Okay, so in that case, you don't have two different points of view. You just have an inconsistency. And then presenting aggregated information of interest gathered together and presenting it again in fresh natural language prose. Not necessarily a list of things, although that's possible, but actually a narrative that incorporates the relationships of time, which was spoken, and the relationships of space, and also identity. And in our culture, we have something called possession, which is another interesting sort of like thing that's encoded in our natural language. Let me talk about this a little bit. This is kind of like a basic sort of like notion of where I'm going with this. So you have some documents over here. Do I have a mouse? I have a mouse. All right, so I have something like that. That works. Okay, so you have these documents, collection of documents, and you have a reader. And this reader will take the knowledge of a given language, German, French, or... Whoa, okay. Exactly. I was going to like... Laser pointer. That would be the one named Laser, right? Okay, well, anyway... Be that as it may. Okay, so you want to be able to specify a language.
It's working, it's just not showing up on the
platform. Oh, I see. It's one of those like stealth fighter backgrounds. Okay. Okay. Oh, I guess I need to be over here because. You can wire me? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. That's good. All right. You can hear me? Good. All right. Great. Is this too far? Stand in the podium? And no. Okay. Right. Okay. I'll do my best. All right. So. You want to be able to define a language and the rules of the language and all of its combinatorics and all of its transformations, at least within a certain degree of coverage.
So English or German or Hindi or somebody mentioned Canada or Tamil and those earlier languages today. You want to be able to express them in a form such that you're not teaching it how to read the language. You're just teaching it about what's important to you in what you read, sort of thing like that. So, but at any rate, these documents get consumed by this reader, which embodies this language. So, of course, the senses and their equivalents, and there are even more relationships between those senses that are quite interesting. And taken together with this worldview or ontology, which can be grown, and we'll see that in a minute, to produce a language-independent representation in terms of the ontology, including time, location, identity, possession, other sorts of things, which apply ubiquitously to ontology, sort of thing. Okay. The interesting thing about this, of course, is that these documents could be songs, photographs, maps, doesn't matter. What you want to have is a representation of this information, which is encoding, initial source encoding that is different, or independent of that. Okay, so then, of course, the reasoning and inference logic, to be able to say, you know, A implies B, B implies C, therefore A implies C, that sort of things, and being able to add more information to this. And a writer that can produce reports, and of course the ability to say, of all of the stuff that we just read, I'm interested in something. I'm interested in, what is the relationship between this concept and this concept? What is the transitive closure between those two relationships, between those two concepts? Wouldn't that be interesting? Especially if the links between the concepts occurred in different files, in different documents, right? So now you're coming up with something that is really navigating the graph, okay? So
WordNet for documents.
Cool. All right. Okay. So in terms of reading for what's important to us, we need to be able to identify what's important to us, our point of view, and then create a reader which doesn't read all the language, just like, you know, reading everything, sucking it all in, but reads just what we're interested in and can skip over what we're not. Okay? So that's pretty much what that's about, is that you want to be able to train it to identify what's important to us. And you want to do it with natural language text. You want to be able to have it watch you read. And you say, hey, that's important to me. That's important to me. And it can say, cool. Or, yeah, what about that's important to you? And you go, well, this is. Or they'll say, you can highlight a section of text, like a paragraph, or a whole document, and say, you know, tell me what you understand of it linguistically. And it goes, okay. Say, this is important, this is important, this is not important. Or maybe you just say, I'll just cut to the chase. That's important. That's important. This bird flu outbreak in Botswana. That's important. Whatever you find is important to you. And then being able to capture that information, extend the ontology, and we'll see that in the next slide, and then produce or generate a reader. The reader is not, and I think other people have talked about generating rules and generating readers, but you want to be able to generate far more code, far more a much more sophisticated application than you could actually code yourself. So that's that part. You want to be able to specify a report organization and what we're calling a writing style. And it's how to render the information. Suppose you want to go from legalese to simple English. Or suppose you want to give a particular writing style, or maybe you have a favorite author or something that you want to capture their writing style. So you want to be able to render it. And that's just the business about taking it out of this language neutral representation and recasting it, inverting it, applying the linguistic rules back out to a structured report, structured based on that and the ontology and what was found. You don't want to like give a section of something that wasn't found. And then be able to say, I would like to know what happened, you know, what's the relationship between George Bush and Herbert A. Allen III? And you go, maybe you find, I'm making this up, maybe you'll find their daughters went to college together. and they happen to be roommates. Wouldn't that be interesting? And then you say, well, what's happening now? What other relationships are there? And you may find some interesting things there. So the idea is to be able to give maybe a thesis. I really want to know about, and then give a list, a paragraph. Your query is a paragraph. Why? Because it can read it reads natural language text. Only in this case, the reader is now extracting a directive on how to filter the information to the report. Okay. So you can give, you know, requests like find this or do that or something like that. Okay? Okay, so the idea would also be that you would go through some automated or semi-automated extraction process, which allows you to identify what's important, and then add that or extend your worldview, having a number of preview people, users, simultaneously work on extending the worldview. What you see here is, in yellow, you see these are the kinds of, most of the community will interact with the system through documents. They will extract documents or take documents from off the web, or they will take documents from within the wiki. They will produce documents, and they may post them in the wiki, and they may update them. You can like periodically update them. They may do natural language query. Perhaps a more cognoscenti may actually get into playing with editing the ontologies or making new reports or something like that, because that will actually not happen all that often. Harmonizing. I want to say a couple things just briefly about harmonizing different points of view. And this is one of many kind of variations, but kind of like work with me on this and see how it goes. Okay, got a bunch of documents. I got two points of view. This is manufacturing's point of view. This is marketing's point of view. Same documents. Okay? They both know what's important to them, right? And they've got that sort of thing. And they may have a worldview in common. Let's say in this particular case, there's a large ontology that they've built together. Some of it may be only used by one versus the other. By reading this and extracting this language-independent information out of it, and then seeing where it overlaps, and seeing where it's different, whereby these words here became this concept, used by this way, the same words, became a different concept. The same words became a different concept. And you can detect it. It's not a matter of guesswork here. It's just a matter of applying the notion of having these independent points of view specific readers. Then you can analyze the difference and then write a report and say, you know, this is where those documents from marketing point of view look like this. Good, we have agreement. It looks like we have agreement here. And from sales or manufacturing point of view, this is where we're different. That's all I really, I only had like 10 or so minutes to cover this thing. Yes? Well, yeah.
Could you repeat the question, though?
Okay, good.
In your last example there, aren't we talking about the same concept, in other words, the same set of documents, but it's the same concept, but it's just that there are different attributes of interest to the marketing and manufacturing organizations or engineering, whatever, and then there are different values, both importance values, but also values of attributes that they think are correct.
Where they're common is that these words in these documents, this phrase, this assertion, maps to a different part of the ontology. There may be an overlap to part of it, but there may be attributes that weren't there in the other one. There may be relationships that are there and not in the other one. So the exact same thing may actually show up differently. And as well as, and what you said is right on about importance. Is that what you'll find is that also in the ontology captured is your intuition, your importance, and all of that stuff, just as concepts. So that you can actually read about those concepts, not only have them as a meta level, hey, I recognize this is a risk, but you can read about risk and actually do that together.
Yeah. I just have two comments here. Number one is there must be some kind of historic pattern or intuition or profile that behind those people have different views. And that's not portrayed here, because those are the patterns that you go by. Okay, number one. Number two is from now, the language independent concept actually derived from language dependent words. And how are you going to separate that? How are you going to, because we are dealing, we're not dealing with a conceptual, but a word net. We're not dealing with a conceptual net. And how are we going to jump from that concept to an abstraction? So I'm more influenced by Plato than Aristotle.
Yeah. Anything I could say very briefly would be kind of like hand waving. I think what I need to do is have some time with you and talk about how you make that difference, that leap. We have something called a meaning map, which allows us to map linguistic patterns into conceptual patterns. And I'll show you, it's exactly, I mean, you have to make that map, right? And how do you handle that, and how do you handle it in very flexible combinatorics?
Okay. One part of the reason for asking Dr. Raber to join us today is that if we sort of think about the demonstrations we saw of wikis, they're relying on, you know, the fact that we're working with different problems. But what if, right, the semantic wikis are also able to draw on the ability to, you know, to harvest, express, build ontologies on the fly, be able to build this information of interest, use it to help populate the wiki. And conversely, if you're looking at the body of work that's represented, in this case, through a wiki, the ability to be able to report it out. And the third element is, of course, that ability to do the query against in a semantic, intelligent way. So by the time we start to work out the techno-social collaboration that's going to take to be able to work with knowledge in all its various forms, you know, we're going to say, oh, well, can I use the computer to help me in various of these tasks? And so that was the basis of that. Final comment from the back.
I have a real quick question. I won't
here. We can repeat
okay,
it.
Okay, yell it out there.
We'll repeat it.
I'm a pretty loud person. So, one of my major questions really is that you talk a lot about kind of like the different silos of semantics, if you will. And I need to gain a better understanding of, as a full-blown solution that an analyst or somebody would leverage, they come at things from different aspects of context, if you will, at different points along the way. As their knowledge grows, the context may actually change. So how do each of these tools actually feed one another, so to speak, as kind of a semantic ecosystem to be able to be more intelligent, to glean knowledge out of the knowledge base, learn some of the lexicographical pieces, and feed one another so that an analyst who may be asking a specific question about a very general topic may get some more detailed type of questions about something he had no knowledge of which to really ask, right? And to ask it in an intelligent way.
Right, that's a great question. I mean, iteration and so on. Do you want to respond to it, or
I know
he would like to respond to it.
Okay.
So answering that question was actually what the Icarus project was about. So in that project, three completely separate knowledge base systems: one from Stanford and one from Rensselaer Polytechnic, which use completely different knowledge representation languages, were interoperating using this language. So the point is that if you've got a fully contextual, logical language, it really is language and use independent. So the systems, by means of purely syntactic transformations, you can convert between them. You can have one system query another system. So to take an example of interoperability, we saw one of these wikis building L files before. You can take L files and load them into Psyc and read and reason with them, as long as the vocabulary is consistent and there are available consistent vocabularies that can be used. So that's how we get from here to there. And one possible consistent vocabulary is WordNet. Another consistent vocabulary is PsycL. We shouldn't unnecessarily multiply them. We have to get down to, we actually have to get down to some agreed upon vocabulary. We have a couple of very good seeds there.
So, and if I understand you correctly,
transform it out plus a consistent vocabulary. You've got to have both. You've got to have both the representation language, the syntax, and also the vocabulary, the semantics. Just as English doesn't just have, you know,
and so I'll give an upside down interpretation answer to that question, which is if, because as Mills said at the very beginning, I come at this from an SOA point of view, right, which is a running architecture in an enterprise. If the SOA had all of its data represented as RDF, and so this would be a semantic web answer to this, to sort of segue into Frank's, then any domain can build an AL vocabulary, an AL model, which represents its point of view, right, and reason over that RDF content. And so that's almost an upside-down way of approaching the same problem. And I would say the issue is both ways are valid, right? Depending on, one would be sort of a top-down approach to using all of this, and the other would be a bottom-up approach where the data is very granular. It's all RDF triples, and the way you reason over the data is the AL model you build for your domain. That's the beauty of AL and RDF.
I think we're going to have to conclude here. Let's give